Thank you all for joining the Latin Generation panel call on the 3rd of October 2019. In the call, we have Bill, Mariana, Dennis, Hassan, Mats, Mikal, and Bettina. Over to you, Mariana.
You've seen that I've forgotten a few things in the first version of the agenda, so I added a few news to the agenda. I want to finish it in the first, and after that we shall proceed with our finalization of the report and so on. First thing we have, I got the proposal from Pittinan that they are intending to organize Greek, Cyrillic, and Latin GPs with IP during ICON 66 on Tuesday, 5th November 2019, between 10:30 and 12. That's why I was asking just before the official beginning of this meeting who is going there. And now I have Bill, Mariana, Mikal, Hazem. Mats, are you going to Montreal? Mats?
Yes.
Okay. We have Mats. And Dennis?
Yes, I'm planning to go.
Okay, so we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We are almost all of I just wanted to inform you about it and hear your opinion about this. No ideas, nothing is going on.
I'm sorry, Mirjana, opinion about what?
Michael, you're asking something. I didn't understand you properly. No, or Dennis, who asked me something?
It was Dennis, it was me. I was asking, you were asking the opinion about what? I'm not sure I captured
it. I just wanted to inform you about this proposal and to hear your opinion about it.
What proposal, sorry?
It was proposed by Pittinan to have a joint meeting, Cyrillic, Greek, and Latin GP with IP during ICON 66, talking about cross-script variants. And I wanted to inform you about it and to see you, to hear your opinion. Probably I was not clear what I wanted.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea. I think it's a good idea that we have a shared meeting. It's much easier to resolve and understand each other at such a meeting. So since we are quite a large group, it will work well from our side at least.
Yeah. Thank you, Mats.
I agree. It's Dennis.
Dennis. Thank you, Dennis.
And what about Armenian?
I don't know. We could ask Pittinan. Pittinan, could you say?
Sure. Yes, I can also reach out to Armenian as well.
Okay.
Yep.
Mikal is the next.
Yeah, hi. So I think generally it's always a good idea to have such face-to-face meetings because it makes it much easier to discuss something. But as always, I'm a bit skeptical if there's only opportunity for part of the group to take part in such meetings. So I think if such meetings could be arranged to co-occur with face-to-face meetings, which are planned for the entire group, or if other solutions could be found, that would be much preferable. Thank you.
Bill, please.
Yes, I think while we don't want just a partial group for the for a Latin GP face-to-face meeting, I think even some of us being able to get together with one of the other GPs is very valuable. Pitanan, are we going to be in a room where remote participation is possible?
Hi, just let me respond to that. So for this time, I think we will at least have this Zoom room. So by the audio is definitely be able for the remote participants. So it should be workable. Yes.
Mats, please go on. Mats, you are muted.
I'm sorry. The optimal solution would, of course, be if all groups are fully present. So Cyrillic, Greek, Latin, Indian group, all of them are fully present. But that's not, in practice, that is not possible. And I think this is a chance where we could at least discuss with a number of people from each group. And then we should remember that some of us from our group is not present, and we should bring this back to the rest,
yeah.
Unless they are, it's possible for them to participate over phone or on Zoom. I don't think we should miss this opportunity.
Thank you, Mats. Michael, your hand is still up. Do you want to say something?
Sorry, there was no hand.
Yeah, I wanted to say one thing. What I have on my mind that is following. If we discuss anything with other panels, and we cannot make decisions if all panel members, Latin GP members, are not present, we can discuss and bring back, as Matt said, to our meeting whatever we have discussed. We cannot give final answers if we are or not present all. That's my opinion, at least. But it's good to talk to other people and see could we make any agreement and what they think and so on. I'm not very well informed. I don't know, Michael, did anyone offer you to travel to Montreal, or you are not offered, or is there any chance that you can travel to Montreal somehow? I was just thinking about it.
I don't know. Currently, I don't have any travel support.
You didn't get travel support.
So currently I'm not planning to attend.
Okay. And Pitinan, is there any chance that we can try to get travel support for Michael for this time? I'm just wondering.
Hi, for this time, the travel support has already been done 3 months ago. And it seems almost impossible to add more people after those 3 months submission earlier. So probably this time it would be hard to support Mako. Unfortunately, very sorry about that.
Okay, so the situation is like this. Another solution is not to give final decisions during this meeting, just to talk and try to make agreement, not to step down what we have discussed all together and what is written in our papers. And probably we shall see what will be the results of this discussion. Sorry, that's it. Michael, I'm sorry, nobody asked me if this proposal came yet before few days from Pitinen, and I was not in the position to propose for anyone to go to. No one asked me what I think who should be going there. So maybe there will be another opportunity to meet with these people. I don't know. Is there any other discussion about this topic? Any any.
Hi, this is Pitinan. May I also hear some feedback on the time? Is the time workable for all of you?
Dennis is asking.
I'm sorry. What did Pitinan say?
I was just asking some feedback on the time. Can I confirm the time on the 5th November, 10:30 to 12?
Let me see. Mats?
Yes. I mean, if this does not collide with other IDN meetings, I think this is it should work. I haven't looked at the schedule yet, and so, but it's always hard to find a time that is perfect for everyone. But as long as it's not colliding with IDN, I think it should be fine.
Okay, this is Pitinan. So this time slot is generally the IDN and UA sessions are not scheduled on Tuesday. So this won't be collide with the IDN and UA.
If we want Michael to take part remotely, 10:30 minus, I think it is, it will be 4 o'clock in the morning, or 4:50, or 5 o'clock in the morning in Germany.
Is there any chance? You add five hours. You add 5 hours. It's about 3:30 in the midday.
Oh, sorry. I'm always taking the wrong directions when calculating these time zones. Sorry. Thank you, Kazem. Yes, it is. Sorry, yeah, it is 5:30 in the evening, okay. If Michael could join us, he will do it. He will see what is his. Okay, what else we have in the chat? I'm doing at large, but this is my priority, Michael. As for the agenda, I assume LatinGP should reiterate the inscript variants which may arise because of the cross-script variant analysis we did. Remember, we had sent an email without a reply. Yeah. My idea is not to take any decisions, any final decisions in this moment. We should try to stay to the hour variants and try to impose them somehow. We shall see how the discussion will finish at the end. It seems that for the most people this time is suitable. For me too. Dennis, please go on. Sorry, I didn't see your
thank you. Thank you, Mirjana. Yeah, as far as the time, that seems okay. Doesn't seem to be in conflict with other stuff. As far as the agenda, I think I tend to agree with Michael, and I would take it a little bit farther, and maybe I will put staff a little bit on a tight schedule, because, I mean, one thing, For us to have a meaningful meeting there to discuss is to expose everything that it's the intersection of each of the variants. To some extent, we don't care what variant they define, as long as they affect us, right? So we should look at the intersection of everyone so that we can see, you know, on screen or on paper, what is going to happen, right? We ourselves, we don't know. All the variants that we're proposing what is going to be the overlap, right? So if we can put those into the tool, I mean the LGR tool, that can expose all the overlap intersections that we might want to be, you know, talking about, not reaching any conclusions, but at least, you know, oh, I didn't know this was, you know, this variant relationship that I was, you know, putting candidate will impose cross script or in script variant relationship into, you know, this and that. But we need that holistic view so that we can have some conversation around that, because I don't see how it's going to be very difficult for each of us just, you know, saying, oh, we're doing this and we might think this and that. I mean, if we can put all of the variant relationships into the tool will, you know, give us all those sets, and we can easily view what is already, you know, if something is creating a conflict or not, right? Again, just for discussion purposes, so that each of the panels can reflect on that and see whether there is more conversation that has to be done, or some, you know, panels will, you know, put their foot down, so to speak, and say, no, this is what we want, and you know, you have to deal with that. So, and we'll just let the integration panel take the decision, or, you know, whatnot. So, so in that sense, I think what I'm asking is, if it's something that people agree, that we will ask Sarmat and Pitinan kindly to, you know, prepare these LGR output so that we can see. I mean, knowing with a disclaimer, all of this is proposed, nothing is on stone yet, it's just what it's been working on, and this is work in progress, right? So that's where we can, you know, have a conversation, all of the GPs there in that meeting. Because otherwise I'm not sure what we would be discussing for 90 minutes. So, thank you.
So this is Pitinan. So just quickly respond that I can help create the XML for that purpose. I might need some guidance on which table, for example, you need only the formative part, or you also want the appendix that is kind of in gray area to be in as well, just for the sake of this question. So that's, I can come back into the queue as well after Mats and Nico. Thank you.
Mats, please. You are muted.
No, Dennis, when you talk about conflicts, do you mean in script variants that are imposed or lacking from something else?
Yeah, mostly, yes. Mostly, yeah. Right. The inscripts and for cross script, I guess, I mean, it's a lower bar, but yeah, inscripts would be more problematic, right? So, yeah.
But because the cross script variants, I don't see any problem of cross script variants, as long as they don't impose any inscript variants on Latin.
Right. And that's my point, right? We don't know. So, exposing those, right. I mean, putting those into the tool, because the tool will do all the combinations, will you know, save us time and put things, you know, clearer.
Right. So what I think we should have 100% focus on are the in-script variants imposed by the cross-script variants. And other cross-script variants, we don't have to even talk about on the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mats. Michael, please.
Yeah, thank you. So I agree with Dennis that we should have an agenda, which is clear, kind of. I also think it may be useful to somehow visualize the variants to kind of make clear to everyone involved what are the consequences of the actual variants we are suggesting. But I don't think like we should go too much into that integration part, because that's kind of the business of IP. and it's not really part of our mandate. From my understanding, the meeting is planned to take place only with the Cyrillic generation panel. And we already know their proposal because it was already finalized and approved, right? So my understanding is we already know the overlap. So the only bit which is missing is the one which we are producing. So those will be the cross-script variants and the inscript variants which may result out of them for the case of Cyrillic GP. I remember we had written an email to the chair and never received a reply. It was also mentioned in the proposal. My understanding is that this is what we should discuss because we are not at a point where we can discuss our own inscript variants because we still don't have consensus on all of these cases. And it's still something we're working on. For example, we have collected data for most of the cases, but also judging from the comments which are in the proposal, there's clearly no consensus as of yet. So we still have to discuss this and see like if we go again for majority vote or if the data seems convincing and sufficient at this stage. So our inscript variants will be out of the, will be kind of out of the discussion and they're not ready and available yet. So I also don't see quite the point in creating an XML. And it will be a lot of overhead. So yeah, that's my comment. Thank you.
Now I have Pitinen and then Tennis.
Hi. Yes, I understand that the inscript variants that we plan to discuss is only the ones that happens because of the effect from the cross script variants from other scripts. And in that case, I think it's, it will be benefit to discuss in the meeting. And also just to clarify that this meeting will be Cyrillic, Greek and Latin. And right now I will reach out to Armenian as well. So it's not only with the Cyrillic. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Pitina. Dennis, please.
Yes, thank you, Dennis here. So just to react to Michael's point about the overhead of creating XML, I mean, we have to do it for the IP. And for the next version, we are going to, I'm using air quotes here, lock down certain candidates. And so we will discuss in those candidates and not additional ones. I mean, granted, there's still some conversation. That's why I was saying we put that work with a disclaimer. This is work in progress. All of these are candidates for discussion purposes only. But there's going to be some, you know, work that can be discussed, and that's why I'm proposing, right? Let's use the XML that we are going to create to have a conversation in front of Cyrillic and the other panels to say, this is what we're proposing, and this is creating these, you know, intersections with each of your, you know, list of variants, right? And you know, likewise, I mean, Cyrillic, GP, I'm sure they are going to be reached out to, and they may have another ideas as to how to conduct this meeting. So not sure, but to respond to Michael's, I mean, I don't see overhead here as you were suggesting. Thank you.
Michael, your hand is still up. Do you want to say something? No.
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you, Dennis. So we discussed a little bit how this meeting should be organized. Time is okay. Any other discussion concerning this item of the agenda? No. Do we need any kind of conclusion about it? Mats, please go on.
Yeah, so if we need preparation for this call or this meeting or the meeting there, we need to know who is doing what. Otherwise, we might not have the preparation done before the meeting.
Hi, this is Pitinan. I can take care of creating the XML and prepare the list of variants.
And as I understood, the important things are which variant, cross-script variants from the other scripts will impose in-script variants in our script. Also, the same thing is important for the other generation panels. And if we have all those data, I hope we have the material for the discussion. Anything else? And Pitina will produce those reports. We still have almost 1 month till the meeting, and for this, to finish this item, we expect Pitinan to prepare material for the discussion. That's it. Okay. Shall we move to the next item in the agenda? I think it is time. It is just the quick one because Dennis has finalized this IDN compatibility, Latin small letter sharp S versus double S. And a few things he was not in a position to resolve, I think, two pieces in the text. So I wanted to finish it now, and that we have these things, this report ready, and make a could include it in the in Appendix D. So, Pitinan, will you please put the Dennis text on the screen? Dennis report on the screen. Yeah, please, Dennis, will you take the lead and try to finalize this?
Yes, sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis.
So, yes, like I said on my email, so I clean up the document, and I hope I have captured all the ideas, conversation that I have, and we've done in the several weeks. But there were a couple of items there, specifically one from Michael and the other one from Mads that I'm not sure how to resolve. I could easily just delete the section that they were, commenting on, or maybe we don't want to delete, but just to, reword it in a different way. So I'm just asking for your help to, part of the cleanup so that we can finalize this. So the first one you see on the screen, right, it was captured as a cons of the inclusion of 00DF with a variant relationship. The con reads limits registration choices as given the context of the DNIX implementation of it, where the two copons are no variant relationships, so you can either you can register labels using a sharp S and double S independently from each other, and therefore that's the comment of limited registration, because when you you implement a variant relationship, one is a first come first serve. So one domain name registration, or in this case, one TLD application would block the other one, right? So that's the comment of limit registration choices.
Michael rubs the hand.
Yeah, Michael, please go ahead.
Sure, sorry, I was seeing the comment on the screen and the part it referenced to, but you were starting to introduce the thing, so I didn't want to interrupt you. I can respond right away to it, and we can discuss it now, or I can try to fix it in the text. It's whatever you prefer.
No, I But basically, comments, this is not a con itself, but a neutral mitigating factor. So not sure that we want as a group just to, you know, I think the reason we put it here is to, you know, the community that uses the most has this reality, right? That they don't see value of having a violent relationship when they release this character. And that now the TLD, the Rootson will have something that is contrary to that one, so that you will see a disparity of registration policies, right? As to one for the Rootson and TLD, and which is fine, right? Rootson can have its own registration policy, and the second level can have its own registration policy. But since the Rootson will come later, does it make sense to create a, you know, deviate from the current practice and you know, do something different? I think that's why it's a con. But I mean, what do others think? I guess. So I know, come back to you, Michael.
Sure. I mean, I understand your way of looking at it. So I was just trying to point out, first of all, the fact that we have always tried to argue and make clear that the rules for the root zone must not be the same as the rules for other levels. So whatever Denik's choices are, we don't know their exact reasons. They might have different motives, but they cannot be guiding. So I remember we had several cases where we were discussing the suggestions from the kind of poll which Michael or Michael was doing with representatives from those different language communities. And we were always trying to say, like, those are good suggestions, but we must do our own. So it's not a con in itself. It's just like a fact that's out there and it's up to interpretation. So I would say it's kind of like a neutral factor. The root zone will, by definition, have different rules than other levels. So I don't think it's inherently a con, an argument against creating a variant relationship. And I also think that business reasons would play a larger role than actually like kind of importance for the language community and things like this. But this is, again, speculation on my part, and we should make our decision independently. Since we already have taken our decision at large, I would therefore remove this from the cons box and put it somewhere else where we just state the facts, like above, where we speak about the distribution of browsers in Germany and stuff like that. So just say it among facts, not among arguments. I hope that kind of clarifies my position and why I made that comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. We have a queue here, so I have Bill and Matt.
I tend to agree with Mikhail. I don't think it needs to be in here as a negative. There may be no need for it, but we're not in the business of deciding does somebody need this particular opportunity or not. It's just a matter of, is this a problem or not? And in this case, I don't think it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Max?
Yeah, I think too that we could remove this from the con box and add it as a fact when we compare with other choices. And I wrote it in the chat box that I find the language strange, because it's strange to refer to DNIC instead of .de. And it's strange to talk about practice rather than rules or registration rules. Thank you.
Thank you, Mats. But I think what I'm hearing is that let's remove these two lines. Is that correct?
My impression is that the consensus is that we should not remove it, but move it upwards where we state facts summarizing the situation.
at least this is how I understood, builds in Matt's comment.
Oh, so maybe I misunderstood it. So we're saying we keep it, but you know, change the language.
May I speak?
You may.
Yeah. So what the maker says is that we remove it from the box and put it as a fact further up. State that this is the situation in for .de, which is the largest TLD with the SZ.
It's already there, right? At the registry implementation at the second level. So what I'm inserting here is your suggestion to use the TLD string along with the, you know, the registry operator. So.
Fine.
Mm-hmm. And switch is dot
Ceja.
I'm sorry?
CH.
It's CH, right? Okay, yeah. Yes. Like chocolate, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Looks good.
Okay, thank you. I'll just, you know, clean this up just to so that flow the registry. All right, so the next one is down below. So thank you for that. The next one is from Matt on the box 2.3, the disposition value of the variant relationship SS to sharp S. The second bullet, German users do not expect a variant relation from SS to SS, but only from SS to SS. So comment from us, users do not see variants, not even DNS see variants. Variants only exist in registration systems.
Matt wants to say
right,
something.
Well, not sure if when you say variants, I mean they certainly expect things to be the same, right? And that's why we have the whole variant LGR work. So maybe you need, can you expand a little bit of? I mean, we are certainly doing this LGR so that we have a registration system for the root zone, but it starts from the premise that things are deemed the same by the user.
Right.
So I have... Go ahead, Matt. Yeah.
Yes. So that variance is it's a technical term for this domain name relation. Then we should talk about, I don't know, German users is probably bad too, because that would exclude maybe Swiss and Austrian users, but they don't expect SS to be replaced by an SZ or something, to be spelled as SZ.
Okay. I think I got the right. Yes, as far as Vanyans, right? Yeah, I think, yeah, from a technical standpoint, users don't know about that, but they do expect certain, you know, the sameness of a label, you know, using sharp S to double S, but that's not the other way around, right? The symmetry on that conversion is not expected by, you know, users.
Correct. But we shouldn't use the variant there.
Correct.
Because that,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get the objection, Matt. Thank you. Bill.
And also the German. I'm sorry. The German users. They should be German speaking users or the German language users or something.
Bill, please go ahead.
Yes, I think I would modify this slightly to say the users expect routinely that to go from SZ to double S, but it's not that they don't expect to go from SS to SZ, it's that some don't always expect to go from SS to SZ. They do sometimes. It's just that it's not always the case that they expect to go the other direction. And I think we should be clear that's they never expect it, which is sort of what the words at the moment suggest. It's just that they don't always expect it. Thank you.
I have Hassan and Matt again.
Just to explain, there are words in German which are written in SZ and are then written in double S if no SZ is available. But there are other words which are originally in double S, and these are not written in SZ, even if it's available. So it's only one way.
I think what I was trying to say is if someone has, if there's a word that is written in Germany with an SZ, but it happens to have been registered with a double S from one of the places that doesn't use SZ, the users in Germany would not necessarily go, oh, it's an SS, so it can never be SS. They would go, oh, well, it's SS also in our usage, even though the people who registered it first registered it the other way. Thank you.
Dennis, you are muted.
I'm sorry, I'm just clicking too much. So, yeah, we cannot hear Matt, so we'll go to Mirjana. Yep. And then come back. Oh, Matt, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Yes, I was waiting for you to give me the word. Okay, so a German language user do not expect a word which is spelled with double S to be represented with a label with SZ. But it does expect a word that is spelled with SZ to be sometimes represented by a label with double S.
Okay, I tried to capture your idea. I missed the last part, but I think we can build from here.
Yes, but it does expect a word spelled with sharp S.
Oh. I'm sorry, you were saying?
Yeah, it does expect the word spelled with sharp S to sometimes be represented with a label with double S.
Okay, so are we happy with the
Was it Michael that introduced it necessarily?
That was me.
Okay. Because I don't know, Michael, who is the he has raised his hand, and he is the native speaker. I'll take my hand down.
Thank you, Matt. Michael, please.
Yeah, thanks. Actually, the necessarily makes the statement not quite correct, so I would suggest removing it. Because it's not something which is optional. They never expect... Wait, let me read it. Yeah, they never expect SS to be resolved to sharp S. So SS is a fallback for sharp S, not the other way around. And not even for all cases is the fallback. But this is something which is not predictable, really. And it's a lexical property, kind of. So the necessarily should go because it suggests an option which is not there in fact.
Thank you, Michael. Bill?
Yeah, let me try to explain what I'm trying to say because I'm obviously not succeeding very well. There are places where the sharp S is not used, right? And if someone there, if there's a word that is in Germany spelled using a sharp S, the word in, I forget whether it's Austria or Switzerland, is only spelled with a double S. So if someone from that place registers it with a double S, the user in Germany would expect that it would be possible to write it with a sharp S because that's the way he normally renders it. That's not true of everything with a double S, but there are cases where it's a fallback, you know, the double S is a fallback for him, but for someone else, it's not a fallback. It's the only way, and he would expect that he would be able to do it with the primary spelling as well. That was, I'm not sure I'm still getting it across, but that's where I'm coming from. But if you think the necessarily needs to be removed, fine, we can remove it. Thank you.
Michael, is that a new hand?
Yeah, I just want to comment on what Bill said, that if we want to keep this
If we want to word this in a way where it is sensitive to the language, to the sub-language community, that is German-German as opposed to Austrian-German as opposed to Swiss-German, we should, this necessarily is too much of a hint and it's not quite clear enough, I find. So either we restrict the statement to German users instead of German language users, which should render clear that it's a country rule, not a language rule, at least linguistically. Or we go at length and explain the situation again. But the basic situation was already laid out above. And the argument gets more complicated if you factor in the acceptance and expectations of different language communities. So I would stick with German users. And then you can drop them necessarily, and it's linguistically sound. So then the statement reflects correctly the linguistic situation, in my opinion. Thank you.
Okay, I'm good with that.
Dennis, you are muted, and we have Mats.
Mats, you're speaking. We cannot hear you.
No, I wasn't speaking. I was waiting. Mike Jones has claimed that Austrian users also use Sharp S, not only German users. So I think that the necessarily should be removed, and I think that we should stick to German language users.
All right.
And then the second, where you write S comma dot he looks strange, so that should be edited too.
Sure. Yeah. We'll clean that up, and can say, yeah, this is good. All right. So I think I'll use one more editing pass just to look for typos, consistency of the terms, terminology, labels, etc. we're using, and then I'll pass it to Mike out so that he can incorporate into the larger document. Thank you.
We have Hassem in the queue.
Thank you.
Yes, Hassem.
Yes, just a word in the, with a label with sharp S, he does expect the label, I think, but does expect is better. Shouldn't, can be a he or a she.
Yeah, you're referring to the last paragraph that we
course,
were editing. I'll edit it so that, you know, it's gender neutral or, you know. Thank you. Back to you, Mirjana.
Rosanna, if you're speaking, you are on mute.
Sorry, I made a mistake. We are 5 minutes till the end of the this meeting, and I wanted to ask Michael, does he need any help with the job he is doing? Because next Thursday, we should have the report almost ready for sending, and I don't know, should we succeed with it? Michael, what is your opinion about it?
Yeah, thank you. So
Basically, I'm working on it now that, for example, Dennis will send me again the cleaned up version of that appendix. I can incorporate it. I may need some feedback for a few individual comments, which were kind of put there by different people, to ask them, like, if I've resolved them to their satisfaction. I think usually I have. So I was going to share a version at some point, which contained replies to those kind of comments, and where I could, so I could get some feedback on those. I don't think they will be problematic. There is one thing, for example, where I could use help. In the beginning of the variant section, there is a graphic which kind of outlines our model of visual as opposed to non-visual variants. And I think there are two or three minor corrections which could be done. Like, there are missing examples, for example, for the IDNA cases. And I think the order should be flipped around for the right-hand side of the branch. I don't know who created the graphics in the first place, the illustration. I think it might have been Dennis, but I don't want to put blame on you or anything.
No, no, no.
I don't know who has the original.
Sarmad made it. Sarmad made it.
Sarmad did? Okay.
Yeah, well, Sarmad did it.
I don't know which software which was used, but there are some minor corrections on that, so if Sarmat or maybe Pitinan could help just making those minor corrections. If you have the software and you have the original file, I'm sure it's a 5 minutes job. But I can't do it because I don't know what the original format, file format was, and so on.
Okay, this is Pitinan. I will find a soft copy of this graphic and we fix together.
Okay, great. Thank you. Apart from that, right now there's nothing really, I would say. I'm still working on some stuff, so I've worked most of the variant section up to section 6.5. I saw that there are a lot of comments on even the preliminary results we have in 6.5 regarding the inscript variants. So it seems really that there is not a lot of consensus which has been built as of yet. So I think all the results which are in there should kind of be moved back to the relevant appendix and left there, because we're not going to be able to get some kind of, to build some kind of consensus before that. So yeah, I don't see another pragmatic way around it for the moment. There were different cases where, like, individual people who had done their review concluded that this should be a variant, and we presented as preliminary results. But for example, you, Dennis, commented on one or the other that we need to build consensus, and we haven't discussed this case, and you're absolutely correct. So my pragmatic solution would be to remove them from that part, just leave the general discussion and like a template table, and leave the actual visual graphics files which we created as kind of data in the appendix. So this is kind of the status. I hope that's kind of answers your question, Mariana. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Yes, that's a good solution, just to what all the things which are finished, to move it to appendix. And we need one more thing, because I'm not sure how that today Google Docs is functioning, because those this document should be prepared as a Word document and sent a Word document to IP. So in the previous versions, it was, let's say, a few hours job to place it correctly, maybe to do it correctly. Maybe it will be now faster, but I think you might need help to, I don't see, I don't see, shall we discuss this report on our next telephone conference and solve minor problems which you solve, some problems which you cannot solve by yourself, or we shall say that till the next Thursday we shall have this document prepared and sent to IP. It's not clear in my head at this moment. Mikko?
Yeah, I was looking at the calendar to at the calendar to understand when 10th of October is, but it's actually next week. So yeah, we can discuss. We can put it on the agenda for next week and discuss the remaining comments.
Yeah,
I can try to share it before by email and ask people to respond to one or the other.
What is left? Things.
So whatever is left, then we can discuss during the conference, during the teleconference call.
Yeah, that will be good. Yes, that, and specifically to ask everyone who has comments which are not resolved to prepare the resolution for these comments. Otherwise,
right now I'm seeing like 3, 4, 5 of them or something.
Oh, that's not too much.
Something that's not too much. It's like something from Bill. I think something from Dennis. I don't remember in detail.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I try to make changes of the text based on the comments, and so I think it's kind of fixed.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. So next Thursday, hopefully we shall have our report prepared for sending to IEP. Now is there anything else which should be mentioned during this?
Hi, Michelle, this is Pitinen. I need a few minutes on the first meeting.
Please go on, Pitinen.
Okay, let me share. So this is the doodle poll I created last week, and likely it will be the last week, the second part of the last week of Jan. We still waiting for Michael input, so if you can give it maybe now or later, it will be good as well. And I should make it clear on the record as well regarding to the travel support to ICANN66. So generally, IDN program travel support for each GP. The intention is to give updates to the larger community. So for the working purpose, it's better to set up the face-to-face meeting dedicated to the working group like this one. So basically, this time we offer for Marjana, but other members travel either on their own capacities or other engagement they have with the other working group within ICANN. So I guess I just want to put it on the record as well. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Pitinen, for this. Thank you. So it seems that we shall have a face-to-face meeting at the end of the January next year. And that's all for today. So
May I just comment there?
Who is trying to comment? Now, Mats, please go on.
Mats, yeah. So my availability is not 100% because I will be teaching that period. But the sooner I know the date, the higher chance. And now I see that the date will be the 27th to the 29th. So I will try to be available. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Master. Michael, please.
I have one question. I remember last time there was talk about a meeting in December, but I'm not seeing December dates. What happened?
Hi, I can respond to that. So I checked with the meeting teams and it's just too close. They are not allowed to arrange in December any longer.
Okay, thank you.
Is it? I think we are now ready to close the meeting. I want to thank you all for taking part in this call, and I'm closing the meeting and have the rest of the day. Spend the rest of the day very well. Okay, see you, hear you next Thursday, and bye now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye, everyone. Bye.